Part B.
So look, everybody in this room is going to hit one of these. Nobody's going to miss these two. Agreed? Either you're going to die physically or you're going to get caught in the rapture. Agreed? Everybody in this room is going to get caught. That is if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe he died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead. You believe that. All right. Now watch this. Let me show you, because most of us are going to physically die. Listen, that's the surpassing grace that almost all of us will experience, and we'll be part of it. If we have that dying grace, then we'll be part of that coming, closing that first age of Christ and opening it up the second. We'll be part of shutting down that first one and opening up the second. Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, I wonder what they do on the other side. I mean, we do a ticker tape parade, and I don't know what it'd be, but you know, it'd be a big time deal. Shut down one, open up the other. Let me show you what I'm talking. Let me show you what it's like. What's it going to be like for me to die? All right, let's go to John. Let's talk to the man who was all over this subject because he was headed there. Because if I'm in Christ, then I'm going to be in that experience either at the end of the first coming of Christ or at the opening of the second coming of Christ. So I'm in John 14. Now I want you to pay attention to this, John 14. Because Jesus is ready to go to the cross and go home. And he's about to open up the death picture, surpassing grace death picture for the church that's going to be unique. Nobody has died the way every believer can die in this dispensation. No other dispensation. No other group of believers have ever had the privilege that you and I have to die. Nobody. Nobody. And Jesus is about ready to go through that and develop a ministry in heaven like he did on earth. This is called soteriology, and what he does in heaven is called eschatology, and it is still connected to the first coming of Christ. To try to get a term for that, Bob Thiem came up with an idea of calling it surpassing grace based on Ephesians. I don't know. There may be a better title. I don't know. Who cares? It's the concept I'm after. Now here I am in John 14. Now watch this. Jesus is about ready to go to heaven to establish a ministry for those who have believed in him on earth and who have died and are going to heaven. Are you with me? He had a ministry down here to get us ready. Now he's got a ministry up there. Now listen what John 14 says. First verse, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way where I am going. And then Thomas says, well, how do we know where you're going? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Okay? Now watch. Here he is. Now look. Every other believer that has died up to this point in human history, when they died, they went down. They went to a place called Sheol in the Hebrew and Hades in the Greek. And they went to a place down there as a believer that was called paradise. He said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And he was referring to the underworld. When they got there in Luke, they talking about the underworld. And we found Abraham there with the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man being in a place called torment where the unbeliever went. When a believer died prior to the resurrection ascension of Jesus, when a person died, he went to paradise in the heart of the earth. And he waited there to the second coming of Christ and the order of the rapture. Jesus is going to institute something different. Something that's connected with the first coming of Christ, that's connected with his death, burial, and resurrection. And when he ascends back to the Father, which is, woo! That ain't been done before. And is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and all authority is given to him. He's going to establish a new order of ministry for the church age believer. So that when you die, you go to be with him. You go up. You don't go down. You go up to paradise, and you are with him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's see, I'm in 14. Wait a minute. I wrote down 25. I'm still in John 14. I want to drop down to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. See, come back to that subject matter. And what are their hearts troubled about? Well, he says he's going someplace. He's leaving them. You hear that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And then he goes on to discuss it. When he goes back to the Father, he's going to establish a first coming ministry in heaven for you and I when we die. Did he provide a way for us on earth? Yes, the cross, burial, and resurrection. And when he ascended to the Father, he established a way for us when we died to step into his presence. And we will be with him from that day forever. And when the Father says it is time, he will step forward with those believers in his presence. They will receive their resurrection body and the rapture, and we who are alive as believers will be caught up with them in our resurrection body, and a new order, the second coming of Christ, will be established for earth and heaven. Over to 2 Corinthians, a passage we love to quote, the 5th chapter, 6 through 8. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith. In the absence of the Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Therefore, also, we have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Name of the game. To be pleasing to him. So we are told, the moment you die, you're going to step into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to what? To be present with the Lord. So that's never been that way ever before. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you're going to be with the Lord from that day forever. But in the uniqueness of the surpassing time, there will be a period at the end of the first coming of Christ. The rapture will occur. That will conclude that and will open up the second coming of Christ. All part of the surpassing grace. And when that occurs, then there will be a judgment seat of Christ. There will be a millennium. There will be an yada yada. A whole nother life and world. Called the new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem and yada yada. In John the 16th chapter, when he was talking with his disciples about this new order that's part of the new creation in Christ, in verse beginning in 16th chapter verse 5, he says, "Now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrows filled your heart." I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Listen to me. How important is the Holy Spirit to your life in the first coming of Christ? How important is that? Do you understand how big this is? And you just, I walk in the Spirit, I walk in the flesh. Yeah, it's no big deal. It's humongous. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 17, some of the disciples of the Lord said to one another, "What is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not behold me. You will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me again because I go to the Father." What's he talking about? Huh? See, it was all new stuff. It's like, what's he talking about? Everybody knows when you die, you go down, you don't go. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Listen, he's talking about a new order of a new creation is what he's talking about. He's talking about what he's provided for you and for me beyond salvation. And not only did he deal with the salvation, he dealt with the Christian life, and then he deals with surpassing grace. In the 17th chapter, this is called the Upper Room Discourse, isn't it? John 14, 15, 16, 17. In John the 17th chapter, verse 11, "And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." That's Judas Iscariot. "And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in them. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And then he goes on to discuss more. Look at verse 20. "I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me and didst love them even as thou did love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundation of the world." Let me tell you, you're going to step not only into his presence, but into his glory. And I'll tell you something that'll break your heart. You will see the nail scars and where the spear was placed. In 1 Peter 1:13, I want you to take a look at this. 1 Peter 1:13. "Therefore, gird your mind for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the appearing." Now that's going to happen one of two ways. That's going to happen when you step into his presence through physical death, or when he steps into your presence without it, called the rapture. That's a phenomenal idea. And listen, we should gird our minds. We should keep sober in our spirit. We should fix our hope completely on the grace. Notice that, the grace. 2 Peter, next book over, 2 Peter 1, 11. Listen to this. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. In this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. And I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of remember, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, physical death, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, Peter says, and I will be also diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these doctrines to mind. That's the name of the game, people. That's my prayer. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 12th chapter. Paul said, I'm not confident. I went to heaven. He called it the third heaven. He called it paradise. He said, I'm not confident of whether I actually died and went there or had an outer body experience. One or two, though, I do know. I don't know if I went there in an outer body experience. I don't know. I don't know if I actually died and went there. But I do know that I have this experience that is as real to me as if I was there. And he talks about a thorn in the flesh that he received from it. Listen, verse 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise. Notice that, was caught up into paradise. And heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. Now, we don't know what all is being prepared or what all is going on in this period of heaven of the first coming of Christ. You understand that? Except what Paul says, he saw about it, and he is not permitted to talk about it in detail. I can only tell you the generality of the things you already know. I'm not permitted to speak in detail. On behalf of such a man, I boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth, but I restrain from this, so that no one may credit me with more than he sees or hears, as more than he sees in me or hears from me. And then he goes on, and he talks about his being buffeted by Satan and the rest of his ordeal that he has with it. But here is our word, surpassing. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, and he's talking about that to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord in this period of time, which is still part of the first coming of Christ. Do you understand that? It's what he's talking about. And he calls it the surpassing greatness of the revelation. The surpassing greatness of the revelation. For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep from exalting myself. And so Paul is one who talks about this in realms of one who had been there. He is not confident whether he died and went there or whether it was an out-of-body experience. This was at the time when he was stoned and left for dead on a missionary trip, recorded in Acts. And he is not sure about it. Now, what have we learned? What have we learned in closing today? That not only did Christ prepare for you to receive eternal life, but in order for you to experience the eternal life that's involved with life after death, not just life, the abundant life in time, that's eternal life, but over here in the next one, is still part of that first coming of Christ, to be asking for the bodies to be present with the Lord. There is a wonderful entrance, they say, to it. We call that dying grace experience. Peter refers to it as an unbelievable experience. And you'll be with him until he comes back. When you die, you go up. And you go up because you have eternal life. And if you don't have eternal life, you don't go up, you go down. And if you go down, you go to a place called torment because you did not believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead to give you eternal life. And if you have eternal life when you die, you go up. You don't go down. And you go up and you stay until the first coming of Christ is completed its age. And then you will welcome in, we will be part of the welcoming committee. John the Baptist welcomed in the first coming, agreed? We will bring that second coming, issue in that second coming. And there is a whole nother world beyond that. And the writers call that other world eschatology, the second coming of Christ. Ernie, would you have this word of prayer for us?
Father, we just thank you for your grace. We look forward to you stepping into that. Father, how on earth can we get up if your grace is far, far wonderful? It surpasses all that we can imagine. And I just thank you for a teacher that will enlighten us to your word. Father, just thank you. I now pray for this offering, sir. Father, just bless it. Allow them to use the money wisely to continue teaching about who you are and how wonderful you are to us. I ask you in Christ's name. Amen.